Just looking at the wrong.
Pasuk says, "Vayovay noyach uvon of the ishtoy, and a shevon of itoy el ateva mevnei mehamabul." Noyach came into the teva when he saw the waters coming down. And Rashi says, the famous Rashi, "Mevnei mehamabul af noyach miktane munahoya." Noyach was lacking in emunah. Mamin ve'ena mamin shiavah mabul. He believed and he didn't believe that the mabul would come. V'lo nichnas l'teva, he didn't go into the teva. Until he was forced to go in by the water coming down. And the question is a very obvious question. Noach was told to build a teva. And he starts building. And it takes time to build a teva. It took him 120 years. He starts off building and it gets larger and larger, the building. You can imagine as he gets bigger, he's building this big black object, slanting walls. After a while, he must have the zoning authorities making trouble for him. It's illegal to build a construction like that. He had to fight with the town, probably. And then as time goes by, people see this big object going up the size of 2 football fields. And they ask him, "What are you doing?" "I'm building an ark, because you're all going to die. There's going to be a flood." And they look at him like it's crazy. And then he's building and building. 5 years go by, 10 years, and he's still building. 20 years. People start coming to see how he's doing. CBS finds about it. They have updates every so often, and how the teva's going. 30 years, 40 years. People come there for chalamoy trips with their kids. They come there with their grandchildren. They say, "I remember when the ark was so big, you know." And this is going on, and he's ignoring all these people. And every day he's sending them, "Shame, come in the office. Go to Home Depot and get me this. They're out of it. Go to Lowe's. Go to Beckley Lumber and get me more lumber." And as this is going on, in Home Depot, they're very happy with him. They have a special line for him. They put up his picture on the wall, his man of the year there. He'll bring a big pranosa for them. And 120 years go by, and now finally it starts raining. And then Noach says, "What do you know? There's going to be a mabul." He goes in. He didn't really believe there was going to be. Wasn't so sure. When he sees the water, he goes in. What was he thinking? He's building a teva of 120 years. How could that be? And the answer is that when it comes to emunah is something which there isn't. You can't say about somebody, "He has emunah," because there's different levels of emunah. Everybody can improve their emunah. How much do you believe? I'll give you an example. There was a Rebbe who once asked his Hasidim, "Do you believe in the Rabbani Shlaim?" And they said, "Sure, we believe in the Rabbani Shlaim." So he said, "Well, I don't believe in the Rabbani Shlaim." So he said, "What do you mean you don't believe in the Rabbani Shlaim?" So he said, "You believe this is a desk?" And they said, "What do you mean believe it's a desk?" "It's a desk." So he says, "What do you mean believe in the Rabbani Shlaim?" "Of course there's a Rabbani Shlaim. It's a Metzius. It's not something you believe. Believe is something, you have to have a belief in it. Something's a fact, it should be a fact to you." And everybody has their level of emunah. There's a famous story in Bava Basra, where Rabbi Yochanan was darshaning, and he's saying, "Mitzvah Nos Lovay, they're going to build the Beis Mikdash, and the gates of Yerushalayim they're going to build," and he described the size of the stones, the precious stones which are going to build the gates from. So one of the Talmidim was sitting there, and he said, "How is that possible? You don't find the size of an egg of this type of stone, and you're going to have that, like 20 by 30 amas, you're going to find stones like that?" So then sometime later, this Talmud was on a boat. And while he was on this boat, he saw Malochim carrying these huge stones. Stones the size Rabbi Yochanan had said. So he said to them, "What are these stones for?" And the Malochim told him, "They're for Lasid Lavi, they're going to be used." So he came back to Rabbi Yochanan, and he said to Rabbi Yochanan, that, "You know what you said in Shir, you were correct. It's Amos. I saw the stones like that." So he said, "You don't believe the words of Chachamim?" He looked, he gave him a look, and he died. He turned to a galshal tzomos, pile of bones. Now, obviously, this person was in a tremendous madrega. He was in a madrega at Sima Lochim. He talked to them. You know, he wasn't somebody who's just there like you and me. He was a person. When I went to Ellis Island on the boat, I didn't see Malochim there. And he saw Malochim, this person. So obviously he was on a madrega. And when Rabbi Yochanan said it, you can be sure he believed it. But what's the pshat? Pshat in the Gemara is, he did believe it. But when he saw it, it kind of made it, oh, a little more real. It added a little bit more. The fact they added a little bit more, it should have been 100%. The Rebbe said it, that's enough. It could add anything. It means there was something missing in Munna. Noach believed there's going to be a mabul, 99.9999. And the right is, when he saw the rain, added something. That adding something, that was a problem. The Ribbono Shel said it should have been 100% of Vadai. We see in Mitzrayim, Moshe tells Klal Yisrael about the Gula, and it says there, Vayaminu Om, the people believed. Then later on we see by Kriyas Yam Suf, Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Avdoi. So what do you mean, Vayaminu Bashem? They believed early already. Right at the beginning, when he told them, before anything had happened, they already believed. So what does it say, Vayaminu Bashem now? And again, it's the same concept. There's different levels of Emunah. They believed before the Makkos, but they've reached a higher level of Emunah now. Moshel Ma'adov Adoimim. When I say this Moshel, I always get nervous, because once I said this Moshel, and somebody said to me, wow, that's not a story, that's a plan. What happened is, there was a person, a man approaches him and says to him, how much money do you have in savings? He says, I have $30,000. They say, you want to make it quick, $100,000 out of that $30,000? He says, sure. They say, listen, we have a machine, it's a counterfeit machine, it counterfeits bills, but we can't get caught because the bills we make are so perfect, it's much like the same machine that the mint has. It's exactly the same machine. So we can never get caught. The only reason we want to exchange them with other people is because that way we don't have the same numbers on them. We don't have the same numbers in different places. We want to spread the numbers around. So if you give me $30,000, I'll give you $100,000 of these bills. And I'll prove it to you how good they are. Here's one of the bills. Go and check it out in the bank. So he goes to the bank with it to see what happens. Bill's perfect. So he comes to make the deal. He's got his $30,000. And they come with their briefcase of $100,000. They're about to make the exchange, and the guy says, you think I'm such a nar? You gave me a real bill back then. I want to see from this 100,000, I want to see that these are real. So they say, no problem. So he picks at random three bills from the 100,000. He takes those bills, and he goes to the bank with them. And he sees there's no problem with the bills at all. He realizes it's true, they're perfect bills. He's so excited, he comes back, makes exchange. He's walking down the road, whistling. He has $100,000 now. And all of a sudden, he hears sirens, a cop pulls up, he goes to him and says, what's in that briefcase? Personal items, because money is very personal. So he says, I want to see what's there. He says, what do you mean? There's a Fourth Amendment. You got to have a warrant. So he says, listen, I'm telling you, open up that briefcase. So he has no choice, he opens it up, and the cop says, I know what this money is. Takes one of the bills, he looks in the night and says, these are counterfeit. We've been looking for you guys. You're going to sit for 20 years. He takes the briefcase off him, and the cop goes to put it in his car. While he's putting it in his car, the guy runs. And he runs, the cop calls after him, starts chasing him. And he keeps running and running, the cop is chasing him. And in the end, he manages to get away. He's so relieved he got away, but never. He lost his $30,000. So, now we have to look at the story, what really happened. What really happened over here was one big scam. There was no counterfeit machine. What they gave him were regular bills, 100,000 regular bills. And then he gave them his 37,000, they gave him 100,000 bills. Then they had a guy dressed up as a policeman who goes over to him, and he gets back the 100,000. Now they've made the 30,000. Now what's he going to do now? Can he go to the police now about it? What's he going to say to the police? I did this exchange for counterfeit bills, and they tricked me. It's not something you can really go to the police about. So they've scammed him, and there's nothing he can do about it. But where was his mistake, this guy? Where did he go wrong? His mistake was, when the cop takes the bill, looks at it, and like, oh, this is a counterfeit. That's not possible. He should have realized there's something wrong over here. He'd been to the bank couldn't realize it, and that cop is just going to look at it and tell. So why didn't he think like that? because in his heart he's thinking, these are counterfeit. His emunah in the bills wasn't 100%, maybe 99.9%. It wasn't a total emunah. Like last night, if you would have had a total emunah in this guy's swisher, it would have happened. But the mice of people didn't have 100% emunah. 99% is not enough emunah. It's got to be 100% emunah. And therefore, as soon as the cop starts saying the things that he's worried about, oh, it's counterfeit, maybe it's counterfeit. So right away, those feelings come to the surface. And right away, he believes what the cop is saying, and the whole emunah he has in those counterfeit bills falls away. It's the same thing with emunah. When things are going smoothly, a regular yid, yeah, you keep Shabbos, you have emunah, there's no problem at all. But what happens when there's a problem? When there's a big problem, that's when you can tell how real your emunah is. If you have 100% emunah, you can get through the difficult times as well. But when the emunah is 99%, that's when you have difficulties. So they believed in Mitzrayim already, Klal Yisrael. But later on, it was a higher level of emunah. Noach had an unbelievable emunah. There was still a little bit missing. Enough that the rain made it more real to him. And that is why it's called Ma'amin Ve'ena Ma'amin. And I'll give you an example. Somebody who is 100% emunah knows that that everything you have in life, the Rabbanu Shalom gives you. So that means you'll do everything exactly according to the law. For instance, there's a Yidin Monsi called Rav Breslauer, who when he won a raffle, he won a prize, I think a stereo system he won. So he looked at that as income. So he declared that to pay taxes on it. Because he didn't want to, you have to pay, legally have to pay taxes. Oh, they're never going to know. Doesn't matter. And I'll show you a level even higher than that is possible to have. If somebody wants to keep the law 100%, when you go and buy goods in New Jersey, there's no tax on clothing. But legally, when you buy goods in New Jersey, when you buy clothing there, when you come back to New York, you have to fill in on your tax return and pay New York State the taxes on that clothing. You have to pay New York taxes. And there was one time I remember when New York State was a little upset, they're losing all this tax money because everybody's driving to Paramus and these places to get off the taxes. And they went to one of the malls, the troopers, they sent troopers there to take down New York license plates. They took the license plates and they sent letters in the mail to all the people who were in that mall. You went shopping in New Jersey, you bought clothing, you have to pay taxes on it. Now, of course, it'd be very, very hard to enforce that law. But somebody who wants to do 100% would start doing that. So it all depends. How much do you believe everything comes from the Rabbanu Shloim? There's another way of understanding the Rashi, Hasidishab Shat in the Rashi, and that is Noach, it says Miktan Emunah. He was lacking in Emunah. Ma'amin Ve'ena Ma'amin Shiyava Mabel. He believed and he didn't believe the Mabel would come. He wasn't sure about it. He didn't go in till the waters came. There's a Hasidishab Shat like this. You move the comma. Noach Miktan Emunah Hoya Ma'amin. Noach believed in the Ketan Emunah. His generation was a doer of Ketan Emunah. They lacked Emunah. And he believed in them. He believed they would do tshuva. And therefore, ve'ena ma'amin shi'ava mabul. He didn't believe the mabul would come, because he was sure they would do tshuva beforehand. That's another way of understanding it. By the way, a mashal also to understand what I said before, the famous mashal given is, a person is going by, he sees a wall, and he says they're wet paint. He's very careful, his jacket shouldn't touch it. But very often he'll put his finger to the wall and check, oh, let's see if it's still wet. He touches it with his finger. That'll do. Why? It says wet paint. He wouldn't touch it with his jacket. He believes it. He still wants to make sure. Noach also wanted to still make sure a little bit. Another way of understanding the Rashi, I once heard from a Yid used to live in Muncie, Rav Moshe Silverberg, whose son is a famous person in Israel today, Rav Tzvi Meyer Silverberg. So he said that Noach was told by the Rabbanu Shlom there's going to be a mabul. On the other hand, the people have bechira, they have free choice. And if they do tshuva, there won't be a mabul. They have the opportunity to do tshuva. Now, as far as Noach was concerned, he has to really understand and believe they have free choice. But even though they have free choice, I know there's going to be a mabul. It's a fact. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told me it's a fact. So he couldn't reconcile what the Rambam deals with. That problem is, how is it shaykh that anybody has free choice if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what you're going to do? Noach was now in that matzav. He knew, fact, there's going to be a mabul. It can't be there's going to be for sure, because maybe they'll do tshuva. So that left him. He wasn't sure there was going to be a marble. Maybe they'll do tshuva. He wasn't allowed to think that. He had to believe, even though they have that possibility, I know the fact there's going to be a marble. So he couldn't reconcile the free choice with what Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, and that was Mamin Vein Mamin. Just quickly, the end of the parasha, it's a beautiful chap I once heard from Rabbi Nosson Kamenetsky, who was visiting Monsi, Rabbi Yaakov's son, and he said like this, Vayikach Avram v'nocha lem noshim, Avram and Nocha took wives, Shem Eshes Avram, Saroi, v'shem Eshes Nocha Milka. Avram married Sarah, and Nocha married Milka. Shem Eshes Nocha Milka bas Horon. Now Horon was the father of Avi Milka. Milka, that's who Nocha married. V'Avi Yiska, and Yiska is Avram married. Because Yiska is Sarah. And Rashi explains, why does he call her Yiska? Yiska zu Sarah. Al Shem Shesoicha Baruch HaKadosh. Lost of Yiska, lost of Soicha means looking. She would look and see with Ruach HaKadosh. That's one shot. V'shakoil Soichin v'yofya. Everybody looked at the beauty of Sarah. Lost of Soichin, looking. V'oid another pshat. Yiska, lost in the Sichas. So lost of princeliness. She was like a princess. K'moy Sarah, just like Sarah's lost of a princess. Lost in Srora. So lost of rulership. So the Yiska is also lost of being a princess. So he pointed out, it's very interesting. Rashi says, Yiska Zusara, says three pshatim. Between the second and third pshat, he says v'oid. Why doesn't he say between the first and second also v'oid? There's one pshat, should say v'oid. And then after the second pshat, say v'oid. Rashi only says it after the second pshat. Doesn't say it after the first pshat. Why is that? So he said a beautiful chap like this. Leah was ugly. Why was Leah ugly? Because she cried so much. Because she thought she was going to marry Esau. Now, Sarah should have also been crying like that. Because Sarah, there were two sisters. There was Sarah, and there was Milcah. And Sarah is going to marry the older brother, would make sense, Nochar. And Milcah will marry the younger brother, Avram. So why wasn't she crying? You know why she wasn't crying? Because she had Ruach HaKodesh. She saw that she was going to marry Avram. She wasn't worried at all. So Rashi tells us, Yiskah zu Sarah. Why Hashem Shesoicha Ruach HaKodesh? She looked with Ruach HaKodesh. How do you know she could see with Ruach HaKodesh? You know how you know that? Shakel Soichem Biyofya. Because everybody looked at her beauty. How did she have beauty? She should have been crying. That's Uriah. Why wasn't she crying? Because she had Ruach HaKodesh. So those two pshatim go together. She had the beauty because she had Ruach HaKodesh and she wasn't crying. And then you have another pshat. The last one was the Sichas of Princeliness. Shabbos.
Mr. Feldman. Beer again?